Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the special edition of the 14th Fire Internet Soccer Show, the 100th championship final of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup has been determined, it has been claimed, and it does go to our nation's capital as DC United, having a complete terrible league season, they get a single goal late in the first half at Rio Tinto Stadium, and that is all they needed to not only win their third U.S. Open Cup championship in five tries, but they are deemed the 100th winner from this entire tournament from 1914 up till now. And, of course, in 2014, we will celebrate 100 years of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. As we get ready for the 101st edition of this esteemed cup competition in the United States. This is a game where, to be honest, the way that Salt Lake played, you felt they were going to win this, or at least when you got to halftime that maybe, just maybe, they had the advantage. They just couldn't bring anything together to convert a chance on goal. And then here comes Lewis Neal on a rebound. Now, you know, you can question handball all you want, but the point is that play was allowed to continue on advantage because the rebound was loose, and all Lewis Neal did was return that ball, and it goes right into the back of the net inside the far post. And then once again, Salt Lake in a championship final, a one and done. This isn't a two-leg standoff in the CONCACAF Champions League final. This is a one and done, and that's it. So for the second time out of three attempts at a cup, doesn't matter what type of tournament it is, Real Salt Lake ends their Open Cup run as runners-up. 2008, they hosted the Western Conference Final in the MLS Cup playoffs against the New York Red Bulls. A Dave Vandenberg goal in the middle of the first half gave the Red Bulls the lead. Three times they nailed woodwork at Rio Tinto Stadium, and they couldn't get anything after that. They did win the MLS Cup championship after a 1-1 draw at the Galaxy, and going into extra time with nothing, penalty round shootout, winning it, and you're thinking the jinx is over. 3 years ago, CONCACAF Champions League final against Monterrey. They had a 1-0 lead, down 2-1, and then a late goal to make it 2-2 with two road goals coming back home, either with a tie or to add on to the aggregate with a goal to make it 3-2. And unfortunately for them, it was a Suazo goal towards first half stoppage time that gave Monterrey the 3-2 aggregate lead. And all Salt Lake had to do in that final was to convert another goal to make it 3-3, but they would have the advantage on the away goals because of the two they scored in Monterrey. And unfortunately, they couldn't piece that together. DC United is dead last. They have nothing to play for during the league season. The only thing they had left for themselves, for any type of taking the terrible, nasty taste in their mouth, was the U.S. Open Cup. The winner of the U.S. Open Cup would go to the CONCACAF Champions League, and many people were probably picking Real Salt Lake. And on a night where we're celebrating this historic cup competition for 100 years, finishing off the 100th edition of this great tournament that is run by U.S. Soccer, DC United did the unthinkable. They got their goal. They bunkered in. And they got their third title and the 100th champion of this great cup competition. And I know what you're asking of me. This is not about me. This is not about me, about being a Red Bull fan, about why I didn't like seeing this happen. No, take my fandom out of the equation. This is about covering America's domestic cup competition that every club, semi-professional, lower division, major league, pub team can be a part of. And this is why we love this competition. Two trips to Harrisburg for me to cover the Red Bulls to take on the City Islanders back in 2010 and 2012. Both went into extra time. Both extra time games were won by Harrisburg. It was a fun journey, a fun trip, and I might not have liked it, but you know what? I understood it. And this is why I love covering the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. This is why I enjoy this form of a cup competition. That I can see a team in the Premier Development League like Reading United. For all the talk I've heard about Reading United, I saw what they did on the field against the Red Bulls, and even though they didn't convert and got eliminated in the third round of this past edition, and I can say this past because now it's officially over, that's the fun thing about this cup competition. You get an opportunity to see the lower division sides taking on Major League Soccer, and you're seeing it right in front of you. It's the same thing when you go on Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports 2 and you're going to watch the FA Cup from England. You're going to see competition with these lower level sides from England going up against the big boys in the big levels of English football. And this is what the U.S. Open Cup is also all about. Your neighbor plays weekend warrior in a semi-professional or a weekend warrior pickup game. They are eligible for the U.S. Open Cup. They have an opportunity to go on a bit of a run, or they're there for the hell of it, and it's one and done. This is why I love this tournament. This is why I love covering it. This is why I love talking about it. This is why I love contacting the clubs to try and get them for their day in the sun, the spotlight on them, to talk about their club, to talk about what it's like being in the U.S. Open Cup, to have these players that have an actual opportunity to host and hoist a trophy. That opportunity, 100 years old, that opportunity right in front of their faces, taking on possibly one of the best PDL sides in the world, or should I say in the country, possibly taking on a USL Pro side, an NASL side, an NPSL side. What happens if they live down the road, across the river, the next town to an MLS stadium, and their team is going to take on that MLS side. And you can't view them as heroes. You have to view them as opponents. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I love this cup competition. This is why I enjoy talking about the U.S. Open Cup. Shame on the original NASL sides that did not want to take a part of this. The original teams in the original North American Soccer League from the 70s to the mid-80s did not take part in this Open Cup competition. Could you imagine if they did? Could you imagine if they really did take a part of this? The great names that have played for these teams back in the day, like the Cosmos, like the Strikers, like the Rowdies. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about back then. Pele, Beckenbauer, Ray Hudson. If these players had the opportunity to fight for the Dewar Trophy back in the day, what it really could have meant. But you know what? It's their loss. And this is our gain as fans of this cup competition. This is why I enjoy covering the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. This is why I enjoy seeing this cup competition. Yes, it needs more of everything. Everything. More of it. It needs everything. Not just promotion, not just more financial backing, not just a sponsor for the whole cup competition. Everything, even television, not just the final, every round if possible. Every round is so important, so much importance must come here. And there must be an education. There has to be an education to the people here in the U.S. in television about why it's so important to show these games. I am happy and I am thankful we have these internet streams by these clubs. But more needs to be done. And I'm not saying we cannot rely on them. I'm just saying that we need someone that has the ability both the marketing ability and the financial ability to make these things happen. This is why we love the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And we have a champion, DC United defeating Real Salt Lake 1-0, and we're going to get to it right away. And unfortunately, though, if you are a Real Salt Lake supporter, you're going first. And it must have been painful to see them down a goal at half. And just once again, you're just inching closer and closer and closer. And it's all said and done. DC United wins. Joining me right now, Wes Brown, Real Salt Lake supporter, talking about this situation. And Wes, I didn't want to say it's shades of the CONCACAF Champions League final second leg where you got a 2-2 advantage with the away goals rule. And then David Suazo putting in that late bullet to make it 3-2 Monterrey, but it eerily felt like it was that.
Yeah, definitely. There's been, I heard you say earlier there was two instances, just like Tuesday night, 2008 against New York Red Bulls at Rio Tinto, and then Monterrey in 2011, and I would even add last Falls Seattle match at Rio Tinto, the second leg of the Western semis, quarters. And the funny thing is that all four of those games were so similar in feel and result. All of them were 1-0 finishes. All four of those goals came from Real Salt Lake's right side of the defense. They were all placed to the far post. Nicky Raimondo making a scrambling attempt to save it. I mean, it's deja vu four times now. So, yeah, it's frustrating.
I bet it is. And once again, you're basically being correct. It's all coming from the right side of the back line, the right back,
yes.
The right-sided center back. For some strange reason, it just seems like you're not waiting for the shoe to drop. But apparently, it's just too damn familiar. And once again, it just happens. I'm assuming it's not the same players. Because I know Jason Christ made some changes during the last offseason before the 2013 season got underway. Why do you think it's such a weakness for RSL when it's the big moment that you need to get a trophy, a championship, anything? Why has it always been like this?
Well, to go back to your point about the defense, you know, we had Robbie Russell there in 08 and 2011. And, I mean, RSL fans always supported him. He always came up big. I mean, everybody remembers in the 09 Cup final scoring the game-winning PK. I mean, nobody thought ill of him, as far as I'm aware. And, you know, Nat Borchers was there. Olave was there in those first two games. I don't think it's anything about personnel in that regard. I think it's really about those instances. Luck comes into it. Obviously, it's a game, so luck comes into it. And it's really just a matter of, you know, the back line being stretched a little, out of sorts, not used to it, out of their system, outside of the system that they're typically playing, and a scramble moment, and, you know, an incidental rebound where, you know, somebody comes up with the ball, you know, the ball bounces the right way for him, comes up with it, puts it in. But going back to your second question, I just wrote an article yesterday on my personal blog that detailing what I thought was the issue. And I have to say that it comes down to this is where it comes down to personnel. We just do not have a clutch player. You can argue that in lesser games throughout the season, you know, we have some kind of player that can make good plays, can put us in the lead, can keep us in the lead. You know, Nicky Raimondo coming up with huge saves almost week in and week out. Javier Morales, I mean, he's whipping balls around on free kicks, corner kicks. People are getting on the ends of them week in, week out. It's just, I don't know what it is about these big games. You know, we used to say that we liked it when our backs were against the wall. You know, we use that excuse against Monterey. We like it when our backs are against the wall. We're going to win this. And we didn't. And then I recall last year against Seattle, we say that we like it when we're at home and we can dominate at home in the fortress. And we don't. And so it's not about being the underdog, and it's not about being the favored. It's really about not having anybody in the entire club that can be considered legitimately clutch. That's my personal opinion. I've had a couple of people agree with me on that, and I don't really know how the overall fan base thinks in regards to it, but that's my take.
I can understand your opinion. Obviously, you want to have that type of player to come out when you're down by a goal, when it seems you're going to go into extra time, and you really need that big, big moment in a cup final of any kind that you have to go out there and you hope that person who has stepped it up time and time again during a solid match or a match that you need to get into a playoff position or to win a championship, and unfortunately, it's not there. Let me ask you this, though. DC United came in, obviously, the worst in the league. They're in dead last in the East. They're dead last in the entire league with the supporters' shield race. Did you feel a little worried that even though DC United has nothing to play for anymore, but they do have something to play for in the Open Cup, did you feel a little worried? Probably as many people are saying it was a Wigan moment, the Wigan moment could happen like they did in the FA Cup last year?
Without a doubt, man. I mean, you don't rule out a team with Dwayne De Rosario and Chris Pontius and, you know, essentially a third or fourth string national team goalkeeper. You don't rule them out. Ben Olsen knows what it takes to win. I mean, he was in the league very early on. And, I mean, you can say what you will about the season for DC United, but and say what you will about Ben Olsen's coaching, but I don't think that they are a bad team. They definitely didn't get results, but I don't think calling them a bad team is warranted. And coming into it, I mean, Jason Christ talked a lot in the lead up to it that they do not want to take DC United lightly. They know what they're up against. They don't want to underestimate them, but they want to play the game. And that's all well and good saying those things, and they need to be said. But you've got to wonder how the individual players took it. I mean, I'm not a professional athlete. I don't know what it's like to go through, the psychological and emotional and physical training that they do. Maybe they were, you know, galvanized a bit towards that goal and their opponent. But, you know, you can dominate possession, 70% of possession for an entire match and still come up with this type of result. It against an opponent that has only won 3 league games this year. And, I mean, people ruled out that March game against DC United at RFK, which was another 1-0 result, saying, you know, it was early in the season, RSL had some injuries early on, it was a fluky goal with Raimondo making a save and Pahoy putting it in with a diving header. But there, to me, there's nothing taken away from DC United in this season. Yeah, they had a crappy season, but I mean, they're going to be representing the United States in Champions League next year, and that I think says a lot. And I know that will probably ruffle some feathers because they don't keep some. I see a lot of people thinking that DC United should not be representing us in CONCACAF. But, you know, I tweeted the other day, the 14-15 CONCACAF League is 10 months away from starting. A lot can happen, just like a lot could happen from DC United's playoff run last year until now. So I definitely don't think anything in the season really takes away from how good DC United can be.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right there. Things can change during an off season, and we'll see what DC does trying to improve their roster. You know, I thought it was really fantastic, you know, U.S. soccer celebrating 100 years of managing the game here in the United States. But to see Rio Tinto filled with that fantastic banner that's attached to the stands for the 100th edition of the U.S. Open Cup final all over Rio Tinto, that was something nice. I really enjoyed seeing that. Nice to see Rio Tinto Stadium getting an accomplishment of that magnitude with the Open Cup. How did you feel as a Real Salt Lake supporter when you saw that along the stadium walls?
Yeah, I mean, it's – I got to admit, I wasn't there personally. I'm actually in Pennsylvania right now. Seeing it on my computer screen, just like most of the country did, it's Utah, it's Salt Lake, and the Open Cup is there. You know, you look back when the club was founded in 2004, and and nobody thought it was going to work. Everybody thought it was going to be a joke. And it's not. The Salt Lake Valley has come a long way in embracing the team, and to get that many people out, not just for an Open Cup final, but in the previous games leading up to it, and even in last year's edition of it, getting that many people out to games and, you know, representing a trophy that has, and a tournament that has that much history to it, that's important. I think it was said that was the very first final held in the state of Utah, the USAC final held in the state of Utah, and it would have been a first for a Utah team to win it too, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But yeah, it's great to see that much support for a trophy like this, for a tournament like this, and I just wish it was promoted better. I wish the deal with Gold TV wasn't signed, 2 months before they lost all of their partnerships with the providers. So it's just an unfortunate situation that more people can watch it legitimately. But I hope that that gets rectified in the future.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have Gold TV. I don't have a dish or any satellite packages. I have my local cable provider that has it, but I did feel bad for those that didn't have it, you know, especially at the bars. And I've been to you're in Harrisburg, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I've been to Harrisburg twice, you know. Nice little area, the capital of the state of Pennsylvania. It's a nice little city over there, and obviously you have the Harrisburg City Islanders from the USL Pro League that plays at Skyline Sports Complex, which is an actual island on the Susquehanna River. I've been there twice, fantastic area, but I agree with you. Hopefully, not just the final gets broadcasted, but we need to get every single match if possible. Every single round must be broadcasted on a television channel that is sports oriented, that will understand what this is all about and will give this an opportunity.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would add to that, at the bare minimum, and even as a supplement, all the teams in the tournament at least trying to get it on their local stations, because it's important to get that presence in your community, and
mm-hmm.
it's important to rally people, even just the casual fan, out to games like that. This is a tournament that's been around for 100 years, and I don't think most people know about it, even inside the soccer community. I don't think a lot of people know about it, or at least don't really give it much attention, maybe. They think of it as a lesser tournament. But, you know, promoting it locally, getting... There's a lot that the clubs could do too. I know a lot of people put the burden on U.S. soccer, and rightly so, but there's a lot that the clubs could do to further promote this. And you get it in MLS and NASL levels a lot, not so much with the third and lower divisions. I know being in Harrisburg, you don't see anything promoting Open Cup competition. The club keeps it to a minimum. They advertise it on their site. They tweet about it. They will post a banner for the next USAC game at their home league games. But outside of that, they don't talk about it. Nothing on the radio, nothing on the television. It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. Well, listen, Wes, thank you very much for joining me tonight. I know it's a tough pill to swallow. Utah getting their first ever Open Cup final. And all I can say is, you know, good luck with the MLS Cup playoffs this year. I know they're going to qualify, but good luck next year with the Open Cup, and let's see if Salt Lake can try and get back to the final.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. It's Wes Brown. He's a RSL fan, a friend of my good friend Chris Enger from Soccer Newsday. Recommended him to this program, and there you have it. Real Salt Lake down by a goal, and that would be the end of that. Plenty of chances to try and to get level, and unfortunately for them, it ended in the wrong way for Real Salt Lake. But as always, when you have someone that, of course, they lose a final, you got to talk to someone when their side wins a final. And I have on with me my fellow Soccer Newsday writer who covers DC United, Peter Mueller. Peter, it's been a gruesome, terrible, disgusting. You just want to throw everything on the field because you feel like this team's going nowhere. But that one ray of hope that happened for DC United, one goal late in the first half, you bunkered in, too many chances for Real Salt Lake. Bill Hamid comes up big at times. Woodwork comes up big at times. And DC United gets their third Open Cup championship in five tries.
You know, it's funny, you know. I mean, it's been a pretty horrible year for DC United and for DC United fans. The worst year probably ever in the history of the club. And yet, the victory Tuesday night really gave fans and the team something to celebrate, which doesn't necessarily make up for the challenges and the disappointments of the 2013 season in MLS, but it certainly was a nice reward for the fans and for the players who have stuck with it and who suffered through a pretty difficult year and finally got something to celebrate. And you could see it in the players when they won the game. You could see it in the coach. You can see it in the team, and certainly in the fans that I've talked to who have really taken something out of this that you know gives some meaning and some feeling that you know this year wasn't a total loss. And so it was a big victory for the club.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Ben Olsen for a moment here, because obviously, you know, it's been well documented, his tirade on a post-game conference after, I think it was the loss at RFK to Vancouver. You know it very well. It's been documented. You know what he was saying. You know, it's probably been bleeped several times. But what – I mean, to see Ben Olsen just, you know, managing this game, obviously there has to be some luck in it, but still – you had to feel bad for him in a certain way because everything's been going against DC from start to, let's be honest, to finish.
Absolutely, it's been a terrible year, and yet what the fans love about Ben Olsen as a coach is his passion, and it comes out. Sometimes it's directed at the refs, sometimes it's directed at his own players, but the fans appreciate that. They understand that this is a guy who really cares. That's why they liked him when he was a player, and that's why they like him as a coach. And, you know, I honestly think that Ben Olsen is the best thing that this organization has going for it. I've got something in Soccer News Daily that I think is going to come out tomorrow, which, you know, gives credit to the organization for sticking with Ben Olsen. You know, in the middle of this year, during the middle of the MLS season, they had a 12-game winless streak. And in most leagues around the world and in most sports around the world, they would have fired the coach. But DC United didn't. They decided to stick with him. And I think part of the reason they decided to stick with him was because they recognized he's the most valuable asset they have when it comes to marketing, that he probably has what it takes to be a good coach, but that for whatever reason, things had gone wrong this year, that they just weren't clicking. And yet they decided to stick with him rather than doing the easy thing, which would have been to fire him. And they got their reward. You know, they've won their 13th major trophy. They won the U.S. Open Cup for the third time. It's a huge victory for the club and for the organization. And so they really were rewarded for sticking with him when it probably would have been easier to get rid of him. But really, you know, you touched on it, the fans love him. The fans really respond to him. The players seem to respond to him. It's hard to understand how this season turned so bad on the field, but it really didn't turn bad. People didn't turn against him as the coach. They really stuck with him throughout this year in terms of the fans and I think the players. And ultimately, the organization stuck with him. And as a result, they won a championship. So it probably was the right decision to keep him.
It probably was. And once again, Ben Olsen, who has won a trophy as a player with DC United, wins a trophy as a head coach. The goal that was scored just before stoppage time in the first half was coming around. What did you see from your vantage point? I know you were in Salt Lake. You're over at Sandy for the match, you lucky dog, you. But from your vantage point, what did you see on the goal? I mean, were you expecting that rebound to be, you know, converted, or you just felt that an RSL defender was going to clear the area?
Well, I think the DC game plan was to absorb pressure throughout the first half. I think that they would have been very happy to go into halftime with a scoreless result at halftime. And they played defense. They came out with a defensive-minded lineup. Lewis Neal, who actually, ironically, is the one who scored the goal, isn't really known as an offensive player. And if they were really going for it offensively, Luis Silva probably would have been playing in midfield instead. But I think that they really were intending to try to break down the Real Salt Lake offense, to try to keep them from scoring a goal, and they succeeded in the first half. And I think had it gone scoreless into halftime, DC United would have been very happy. But they were even happier that the ball bounced to Lewis Neal at the right time in the right place. He nailed it, you know, one-time shot that went straight into the net. And they couldn't have asked for anything more at halftime. I mean, I think Ben Olsen and the DC United team really got probably more than they were hoping for. To go into halftime 1-0 up was a great thing for them, and probably more than they had expected.
Talk about Duane De Rosario, obviously captain of DC United. There are several instances you can see him, you know, bending over, hunched over. Is he okay? Is it a nagging injury that he picked up, or is it just something that just happened that he just couldn't shake it off? Is he okay, and is he going to finish up the season?
You know, I don't know the answer exactly, but I would say that he didn't look very happy coming off the field. I don't think he was happy to be substituted. He wanted to keep playing. But, you know, he was doing some of the dirty work for United. I mean, he was trying to stretch the field. He was the one who was going man-on-man with the defenders when United was clearing the ball out of their defensive ends. And I think Olsen decided that, you know, he probably needed some fresh legs for the last 15 or 20 minutes of the match. And so it probably made sense to substitute him out. So my guess is that he's probably healthy and fine. But honestly, at this point, it doesn't even matter. They accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. The rest of the MLS season is really meaningless for DC United. I mean, I'm sure that they are professionals and they want to try to do the best that they can. And they've got a game tomorrow night against the Chicago Fire and at home. And I'm sure that they want to try to win that match. But really, their MLS season is over. And you know, it's been over for quite a while, which is why they were able to focus on the U.S. Open Cup, and they achieved what they wanted to achieve. So I think, you know, at this point, if there are any lingering injuries or ailments with any of their players, I'm sure they're not going to push them. If Di Rosario or if any of the other guys who played on Tuesday night are feeling injured or feeling, you know, somewhat limited in their ability, I'm sure we won't see them on the field tomorrow night because there's no point. You know, they've achieved what they wanted to achieve this year.
They really, really did. Now, I have to ask you this question because many people on Twitter, even on Facebook, any other blog website, they were tagging DC United as Wigan, or as they say, they're going to try and Wigan RSL because of what Wigan did in the FA Cup last tournament over in England. Did you feel that was coming here with DC when they went over to Rio Tinto Stadium? Do you feel that maybe they might have looked at or DVR'd the FA Cup final last tournament and maybe used that as a rallying cry?
Well, you know, I'm sure Ben Olsen instilled this in them, that they were viewing themselves as the underdogs and that they were thinking that no one was giving them the chance to win and that they were going to prove people otherwise. And they did, to their credit. But there's reason why nobody thought they were going to win. I mean, they, you know, they haven't won a game on the road in MLS all year long. They did win in the U.S. Open Cup, and it's been interesting that they've been able to be successful in cup games when they haven't been able to be successful in MLS games. But, you know, it's been 30 games in MLS, and they really haven't really shown that they have the ability to compete with some of the teams like RSL. So it was reasonable for people to think of them as an underdog. But I'm sure that they took that as a challenge, and I'm sure that they took that as a rallying cry, that they were going to be the Wigan of the U.S. Open Cup and that they were going to surprise people. And, you know, it was the best game they've played all year. And I think partly because they were healthy. They had Ben Olsen had an entire roster to choose from. You know, Chris Pontius had missed a lot of games this season. Nick De Leon missed a lot of games this season. Dwayne DiRosario missed a number of games this season. John Thorington, who I think was really instrumental in United's victory the other night, had missed a lot of games this season. And yet they had all gotten to the point right now where they were healthy, they were ready to go. And partly that's because United had had the opportunity to spend the last 2 months really getting ready for this game. And, you know, whereas RSL has to play meaningful MLS matches, DC United really didn't. You know, their MLS season, for all intents and purposes, ended 3 or 4 months ago, and it was clear that they weren't going to be a playoff-contending team. And so they were able to focus their efforts on the U.S. Open Cup, and they were able to get their players ready and healthy, and it really all came together for them. And I think that had a lot to do with their victory the other night.
Oh, I bet it did. Let me say this, and, you know, if I'm, you know, grasping for straws, that's fine, but in the Open Cup, from rounds 3 to the semifinals, not the final because obviously they won the final, but where do you think the turnaround came from? Which match in the Open Cup do you think that they started seeing the light of concentrating on this tournament more than the MLS season, even though I don't want to accuse them of saying they threw away the league season? Just in your mind, though, where do you think the turnaround came? Because if I can be bold in saying this, I think going 0-0 in Richmond all the way in through the regulation and extra time to get to the penalty kick shootout, I think to me that's the turnaround point of where their season laid ahead. What do you think?
You know, I don't know about that. That's interesting. I think at the time that was seen as a less than stellar performance, you know, to go down to Richmond to play 120 minutes, not score a goal, and then eke out a victory in penalty kicks was not really seen as a great sign of DC United coming around to being a quality team. But they did what they needed to do. They advanced. And then they went and they had a home match against Philadelphia. And that actually might have been the turnaround. You know, they have a budding rivalry with Philadelphia. It's the closest team to them. They've played some very physical matches with the Philadelphia Union recently, and they've had some bad blood with the Philadelphia Union. And I would say maybe that was the turnaround. And by the time that they played the New England Revolution, it was pretty clear that their MLS season was over. So I would say it was somewhere around there, but somewhere around the Philadelphia and New England games that they really turned their focus exclusively to the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, I really, really did. And I guess finally, you know, obviously this year it's over. You're going to go to the CONCACAF Champions League 14-15 edition, getting ready for the group stage, actually, once the World Cup is over in Brazil. What are you expecting in the off season? I mean, I'm assuming every position needs to be shored up, but where do you think DC is looking to upgrade their roster?
You know, they've started. They made some changes during the summer. They got rid of some international signings that didn't really work out. They got rid of Brandon McDonald, who wasn't living up to what their expectations were. And they brought in some young American players. And I think that that's, you know, their initial step towards getting ready for next year was to bring in some of these players like Jared Jeffrey and Connor Doyle and see what they have to offer. And I think what they've seen is promising. There's a long way to go for those guys to to develop into regular starting MLS players, but I think that's their initial step. And then during the offseason, they're definitely going to have to figure out how they do a better job of signing foreign players in particular. Their track record recently hasn't been very good. Ben Olsen's talked about how it's difficult, you know, to sign these foreign players. You don't always know what you're getting, and that's true throughout the league. But recently, D.C. hasn't really been successful in that area. And so I think if they're going to bring in some foreign players, they've got to do a better job of identifying players who can actually succeed in MLS. And I would say it's good for them it's great that they qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League. It's also really good that it doesn't start until late in 2014 because they need some time. I don't think this is a team that's ready to be competing in a CONCACAF Champions League competition. They won the U.S. Open Cup, which is great, but they have to build. They have to build a team. They have to build a squad that is capable of not only competing in MLS, but of competing internationally. And they're not there yet. And so they've got some time, and they've got some money. They've got quite a bit of money, I think, budget-wise. And so the challenge for them is over the off season is to figure out how they can add to the core players that they currently have and do so in a smart way so that they have a team ready to compete in MLS and then also ready to compete in the CONCACAF Champions League next year.
Real quick before I let you go, I want to ask you this quick question. Sorry about that. Your buddy that was in Toronto has been, he's been sacked a month ago. Do you see, I'm sorry, I forgot his name last time.
Kevin Payne.
Myself, right?
Talking about
Thank
Kevin
you, Kevin Payne.
Yeah. Sir?
Yes, Kevin Payne. Do you think DC is going to bring him back?
I'd be surprised. When the new ownership team came in to DC, I think they made a determination that they were going to start fresh in the front office. And part of that was moving Kevin Payne out. And, for those of us who've been DC United followers for a long time, Kevin Payne has been a part of the organization forever. And, I remember I was in the stands in Foxborough Stadium in 1996 when DC United won their first MLS Cup, and Kevin Payne was standing in the stands in the rain with us. And so, I remember that and I appreciate that. But I also think it was probably time for some change. And, he had been working to get a stadium for quite a while, didn't seem to be going anywhere. And I think they've turned the page. And I think, no disrespect to him, but I think that they've decided that they've, needed to have a kind of a new operation. And since he's left, they seem to have made some significant progress stadium-wise. And, so for that reason, I'd be surprised if he were to come back.
All right. Well, listen, Peter, congratulations again. Glad that you were able to be at Rio Tinto to cover the match. I guess Herb had an extra ticket out of the blue, but but no, seriously.
It was good to see Herb there.
Yes, I bet it was. But seriously, though, congratulations with DC United. The season does not stink all the way. You take the big sting is definitely taken out with that Open Cup championship. Good luck with next year. And all I can say is, listen, if you ever want to come back, please let me know. I'll have you back on.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
No problem at all. It's Peter Mueller, my fellow Soccer Newsday writer. His section's called United Capital, covers DC United, and it's just one of those moments, that it just keeps on giving. And this is it. The final U.S. Open Cup review show of 2013. This will put the end of Open Cup talk till next year. And while we still have some time here, as we're talking about progression of this tournament, so many times people have discussions about what should be the next thing to make the Open Cup better. U.S. Soccer so far has done a very good job adding or bringing back the fourth round proper to make this competition more competitive. And at the same time, they've made the first round proper bigger, adding two more matches. But the truth of the matter is this, and I understand that, U.S. Soccer is trying to make this tournament a bit more compact, a little bit more competitive and everything, and that's why everyone's going boom, boom, boom in the first, second, and third rounds proper and everything like that. But you know, obviously the calendar is not in favor of the Open Cup at the moment. I know Major League Soccer is trying to maybe reduce their league matches from 34 to 28, or depending on how many teams are coming in. I know they want to go past 20. Obviously, they want to, you know, they're going to have the New York City FC side coming in. That apparently other cities are spoken for already. It sounds like Atlanta might be coming in. Orlando definitely wants to come in. David Beckham is talking about bringing in Miami to come to Major League Soccer. There might be another team. It might be San Antonio. Of course, I've talked with James Hope from the Crocketeers that, you know, the mayor of San Antonio would like to maybe push the Scorpions into Major League Soccer. We'll see what happens. But, you know, as Major League Soccer grows, as the North American Soccer League grows, as the Second Division League of American Professional Soccer, as United Soccer League's professional division, the USL Pro League, grows as well, and we take a look at, of course, the clubs that are coming in. Next season, obviously, will be the Indy 11 in Indianapolis, Indiana. Loudoun County in the state of Virginia, the Virginia Cavalry are coming in. Ottawa's coming in, but they will not be a part of the U.S. Open Cup. And, of course, the New York Cosmos did not come into the spring season this during 2013. They are already playing in the fall season, so they were not allowed to participate in the 2013 Open Cup. They will do so next year. Sacramento is coming in next year at the USL Pro League. The club will be called the Sacramento Republic FC. MLS will still have 16. NESL will have 9 clubs. 13 clubs now for USL Pro League. And now a major decision is facing U.S. soccer. And the major problem now is this. How many more spots and how many more matches are we going to have to make this Open Cup bigger and better? Do we have to add a fifth round? In my estimation, yes, I think there should be a fifth round. How would we do this? How would we add a fifth round to an already filled calendar when you have the FIFA World Cup in 2014 in June, MLS taking a two-week break during the group stages of the World Cup, the tremendous heat in July, CONCACAF Champions League group stage restarting in August. Where do we put these matches? And down the road, where do we put these matches when we have international cup competitions like the World Cup qualifying as well as the CONCACAF Gold Cup once every 2 years? And once again, the ideas are there. And once again, I've always said this. If Major League Soccer and the U.S. Soccer Federation wants to contact me and to help with their scheduling problem, I could, you know, we can take a look at the calendar during the off season, when the league is going to have games, where does U.S. Soccer want to put these Open Cup round proper matches? And now we're going to have to try to make it feel like it means a lot more than normal. And I understand the United States is a huge country. I understand completely why U.S. soccer does their draw the way they do. Geographical and now coin flips, everything. So I've come up with an idea. Now, I'm not saying it's a solution, but I would like to think that this idea could be big right now. I think this idea could work. But then again, like I've said before, U.S. Soccer, Major League Soccer, NASL, USL, please contact me. I'm glad to help out. I want to show that this could work because I think we can have a draw and keep it geographical. As everyone knows, the PDL, the U.S. Adult Soccer Association, and even the NPSL have their geographics with East, Central, South, and West. And this is where I think this can work for U.S. soccer to make the Open Cup a lot better. And at the same time, if you don't have a TV contract for not just the matches, but for a possible blind draw, it's really simple. U.S. soccer, all you have to do is just web stream the draw from Chicago and show it on your website. Whether you do it live or archived, it doesn't matter. If you show the draw, people will see it's more legitimate than normal. Because the idea is to try to avoid all these rumors that the draw is fixed. Not saying people have started it. I don't know if they have. I'm just trying to say, you know, as a deterrent that it won't happen if you do it this way. Here's what you do. And it's really simple. PDL East has three divisions, Mid-Atlantic, Northeast, South Atlantic. The top two after the regular season is done, the top two from each division in the East will go to the next round, will go to round one in the Open Cup 2014. The National Premier Soccer League has two Eastern divisions, the Atlantic and the Keystone. The top two in those divisions go there. And the USASA Region 1 tournament winners will go as well. All PDL teams will be in one section, in one pot. NPSL, USASA will be in another pot. The same thing goes with the Central, Great Lakes, and NPSL, and Region 2. PDL West, NPSL, Northern, Southern, USASA, Region 4. The only difference would be the South. Three teams in the Mid-South, three teams in the Southeast, and the two USASA Region 3 teams will go in their pot when you've got two clubs in four divisions of the NPSL, Sunshine, Mid-Atlantic, Southeast, South Central. They'll be in another pot. One ball per pot for the matchups, and then the coin flip to determine who will host the match. And then you keep on going East, Central, South, West. East, Central, South, West, round two, round three. Round four, this is where you combine the South and the West, and you combine the East and the Central. East, Central will be in with MLS beginners, South and West against MLS beginners in those different types of pots. Round five would be the round of 16. Everyone's grouped together. Quarterfinals, everyone's grouped together. Semifinals and the final. I think that could work. But once again, I don't mind sitting with U.S. Soccer. I don't mind sitting with MLS, the NASL, and the USL to come together to hammer this out to make the U.S. Open Cup for next year, not just to be on TV or even on a webcam, not just for matches, but also for draws. I don't mind sitting with everyone and hammering out a solution if possible. If not, it's okay. I'm not offended, but I'm here to help pass an idea along if they would like to hear it. I want to thank my guest tonight, Wes Brown, RSL supporter. He's over in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at the moment. Peter Mueller, my Soccer Newsday compadre who covers DC United. Join me again this coming Tuesday. World Cup qualifying continues. What's going to happen with Mexico? I don't know, but we'll talk to those that know or who are in the know. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you again. As always, please enjoy your football. Congratulations to DC United, the 100th U.S. Open Cup champion. We'll celebrate 100 years next season. Take care, everybody, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday night. Bye-bye for now.